Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm still in San Diego at the Hitachi Next Conference 2018. This time I'm joined by Sean Rosmarin. Did I get that right, Sean?
You did.
Excellent. Would you mind just introducing yourself and give some people your background, job title, and what you do for the company?
Sure. I'm the SVP and CTO of Global Field and Industry. So I look after roughly 600 pre-sales folks around the world who help our clients to better understand our solutions, as well as have the deep technical expertise around each of those hardware, software, and solutions platforms. I also represent the market sensing function back to the business, ensuring that how our clients are leveraging our technology is fully understood by our engineering organization,
okay,
etc.
Great, wonderful. So I thought it'd be nice to talk about the transition, because I talked with John McGee yesterday. That podcast has already been put up, and we just talked in general terms about how the business has transitioned in the last 12 months. But it would be good to get that view from your side, and also to see whether you think that there's been a transition in the way customers are trying to deal with their business with data and storage. And I think we sort of briefly touched on that before we started recording, and I think maybe that's a good point to start, you know, just your experiences of what you're seeing in terms of how customers are having to act differently in terms of how they manage their business internally.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, let me try to present this from the customer's lens, right? Reality is, when I talk to most of our clients around the world, they talk to me about two key initiatives as it relates to their overall business strategy. They have to run or fix their core business, and they have to grow their business holistically. We tend to talk a lot about digital transformation, which is very much on the grow the business side. But at the end of the day, we all have to remember that, you know, what our customers have to keep first and foremost in their minds is that their overall operations of their key business applications have to maintain reliability, maintain performance, and maintain data integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always been a key part of the technology that the company has delivered in terms of the hardware products. But I saw a list today where there was a scrolling video of a million and one different products now. And sometimes I think it's difficult to see how those all fit, but it looks like some of those is trying to bridge that gap between the hardware and the application and the data, and also process for customers.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. So getting back to the run or fix the business, our customers have relied on our infrastructure for over, you know, 40 plus years. If we look at mainframe and we look at mainframe storage and we look at open systems and we now look at where we are.
Yep.
Yes, things have shifted from the mainframe to open systems hardware to now software to cloud, but ultimately they are still looking to Hitachi to be the reliable partner that allows them to sleep at night to keep their operations running, full stop. Mm-hmm. When you look at what is evolving, though, when we go over to grow the business side, the CIO is now looking at their IT organization for primarily one thing: give me agility. And I think sometimes we've, you know, whitewashed agility to mean private cloud, to mean VMware, to mean containers, and some of that is there.
Yeah.
And that's given us virtual infrastructure, but at the end of the day, agility also means the ability to move, migrate, protect, leverage my data. How do I actually get agility with the data that I'm collecting? And that's become a very important story to us, because obviously a lot of this data sits on our storage today. And, you know, where the real connection comes in is, how can I start to enrich the data in path? And that in path is really, really critical. Because if I do everything in one system and then I have to actually put another system in place to go and enrich the data just so I can use it, not only do I get a latent delay, but I also create a lot of complexity, a lot of technical debt I don't need. The key connection for us was the Hitachi Content Platform, right? 10 years old now, originally built as an archive.
I remember what it was called, HCAP.
Right.
And I remember where it came from as well.
Exactly.
So before the acquisition even happened.
Exactly. And, you know, I like to say that we were incredibly prescient. We saw this 10 years ago. We knew this was going to evolve. But the reality is, the content platform was built upon the concept of, as the data is coming through in path, can I read what it is? And can I take the metadata that's now transcribed, can I put it in an index, and can I now match it to a retention policy? Can I match it to a tiering policy? Now, back then, it was tier of disk, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right? So when you think about it, that's a key connection. Because now that I've got that ability to meta tag, or, you know, essentially index that metadata, well, that's beautiful. Because now I've got my indexes for my databases. I've got HCP doing my indexing on my unstructured data. And I've got my streaming data indexed. Well, now, as I think about grow the business, I've solved one of the biggest challenges, which is actually tell me what I have.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, you heard Brian Householder talk about in his keynote, most organizations are only leveraging 5% of the data they have. And the reality is it's because 95% of their data isn't sitting in a database. It's in pictures. It's in audios. I mean, I look at some of the largest banks in the world. Their call center, their interactions with their clients is generating a tremendous amount of data, but they're not mining it. They don't know what's in those conversations.
Yeah. And that does seem to be a key message of this conference, is that looking at different ways to actually mine the data. So the LiDAR stuff, and then the other side of things, being able to look at video and actually derive more content out of the video. That was something I didn't even know was you were doing as a company. And that was a real surprise to me. And I wonder whether that's a surprise for some customers that you go and talk to, that there is such a rich depth of tool set that you've got for doing whatever you want with your data.
It is. It's interesting. I mean, if you think about video as a whole, I think we had a huge boom in the video business in terms of setting up cameras and recording footage. And when something happened, we could go back and check what happened. Hopefully someone was watching it live, but a lot of times it was a reactive, you know, for insurance, for audit, or otherwise. And what we realized was, was even if you don't put new cameras in place, the ability to actually retrofit even an existing video architecture with sensors for temperature, for dust, for chemical, we see cities now leveraging existing camera systems for gunshot detection.
Yeah, that's
right?
A good one, yeah.
Traffic control, people flow. We're seeing, you know, transportation systems where I'm changing the way an escalator goes up or down based on how I'm seeing traffic people movers come through. And all that's being facilitated on top of an architecture that's already in place. Much easier to facilitate.
Yeah. It's a shame that we haven't got something like that on the motorways in the UK, because they put a lot of the speed camera signs up. And they just seem to be randomly done. It doesn't seem like anybody's using any sort of algorithm to do it. You know, you drive down a road and you're looking at it going, but it's fine. Why am I being told I can't drive down this road? And it's funny that sometimes that data doesn't quite work properly, because I know my sat nav is obviously getting the same feed, because it's now trying to divert me away from it, and then I see the signs. So I guess a lot of it is about making sure you can do something right with that data. So, you know, that whole machine learning side of things that the company's working on, some of the stuff we've seen with the X-ray examples, being able to do something with that data accurately is a big piece too.
It is. I think that, you know, we've every time we've seen a major technology change, there's usually two phases. The initial phase is sort of this promise of reality, and then we go through this trough of disillusionment, and typically technologies come back in their second iteration in growth. You know, we all remember the days of ASPs. You know, that was a business model under construction, and then they came back as software as a service. We remember MSPs, business
Absolutely,
model under construction, then came back as public cloud. And so I think we're now seeing that with big data. And the promise initially was, hey, look across your whole organization, dump everything into a big, massive, scalable, non-relational database, and, you know, it will magically grow a terrarium, fish will grow and plants will grow, and you'll have this, you know, wonderful ecosystem. Reality is, for most of organizations, the data lake became a data swamp.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get anything out of it, and most projects failed to get funding. They actually just ran out of money because they couldn't prove value. We saw this quite a few years ago. And when we acquired Pentaho, the biggest reason why we acquired them was because we saw one of the biggest impediments to driving value from data was blending, being able to integrate that data. Can I connect Chris, the video, to Chris, the photo, to Chris, the call center call, to Chris, the Oracle record, to Chris, the social profile streaming? And when we talked to clients who had done it, because some had, there's always pioneers, they had told us of an exhaustive amount of scripting necessary to actually get all of those various data sources talking. We looked at Pentaho and said, wow, this is a much, much easier way to integrate and blend data.
Yeah, it's not scalable. I'll just point out for the fact that we're recording here in an open area, and somebody's deciding to, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're making a right old racket behind us, putting stuff away, but never mind. Hopefully we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So can we briefly talk about this ongoing acquisition now? It seems to me, when I knew Hitachi, there was never an acquisition mentality for the company. You know, even buying Blue Arc, we were like, wow, you bought Blue Arc. Now, obviously, Blue Arc had been a partner for a long, long time. It was, a I think a lot of us looked at it and go, I can't believe you haven't bought Grimlock. But then when you did buy it, it was a big surprise. But now it seems like you're going out and you're buying strategic acquisitions. And there was another one, Raincloud, has that got that right?
We have announced the intent to acquire Raincloud, that's
right.
Correct.
I'm not really sure I really understood what they were about, so maybe you can just give us a bit of background on what the company does.
Yeah, sure. So let's just level set in terms of where the major elements were, and then we can talk about how Raincloud fits in. So remember, getting back to core infrastructure at our strength, our clients were looking at their application stack and looking for us to help them modernize. So we modernized in storage, and we modernized with our server platform, UCP, across hyper-converged, converged, etc.
Yeah.
And many of our clients were looking at hybrid cloud use cases. Can you help us do DR to the cloud? Can you help us tier to the cloud? Can you help us burst to the cloud?
Right.
And we have a very healthy group of service providers who have helped us launch services in those areas. We have well over 100 very strategic service providers who are delivering those kind of services. But over the last few years, our clients have also said, hey, look, you know, could you help us as it relates to public cloud? We know that we're not going to move everything to the public cloud. We know that promise is behind us. We know the future is multi-cloud.
Yep.
But can you help us in the rationalization, the assessment, the refactoring, the rebuild of those apps so that you can accelerate our journey to the cloud? And then can you help us, Hitachi, just like you have in your managed services in storage and compute, can you help us manage those environments across both public and private? And so, you know, our intent to acquire Rain is fundamentally, touched on that area, in that Raincloud being a platinum Amazon provider, tremendous skill in terms of not just, refactoring apps, but helping clients architect and build critical new grow the business apps in Amazon, but also very significant IP to help with the migration, help with the management of those workloads across both public and private.
So doesn't that push you outside of the core comfort zone of data a little bit? And is that deliberate? I mean, is that what it's about? It's about not just being confined to that narrow column of looking after the data and the hardware and the storage.
I'd argue it's completely complementary, because if the world, in fact, moves to multi-cloud, which, based on the stat we saw this morning of the average client using 4.8 clouds, not including SaaS, probably pushes it closer to 10.
Yeah.
What we see is we are going to have data silos all over the place. And, you know, there is a real need when we look at data protection, data security, data enrichment, data activation and blending. There is a real need for a ubiquitous set of data services, a provider that can, regardless of where this data sits, at the edge, at the core, at the cloud, can you provide me a ubiquitous model as to how I can continue to operate it where it needs to be, edge, core, cloud, private, hybrid, public, but give me a standardized model that nicely fits, as opposed to me trying to architect a set of data services every time I want to go outside the data center.
Okay. So let me just touch on that one, because then that's a really interesting area. And I would look at the way I think people are doing multi-cloud at the moment is the fact that pretty much what the discussion was today. And that's, they've got, a VMware farm somewhere. Maybe they stood up something else. Maybe they've put a bit of stuff in Office 365. Maybe they've done something else. And I would look at it and say that it's multi from the sense that it's just chunks of compute or, you know, resource, IT resource, that isn't necessarily joined up. And yes, it might be multi because you're using different providers.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, I struggle to call that multi-cloud, simply because I look at it and think, I should have the ability to run whatever I want anyway. I mean, or even just at a very simple level, you just said about trying to find my record in Oracle in whatever. Well, how do I find my data in Office 365 and compare it to my stuff sitting on a different file server or somewhere else? I think it's all a bit disjointed at the moment. So are you trying to tell me that's the sort of problem that you're looking to solve?
Yeah, so look, I mean, many of our clients have rolled to multi-cloud and they've run into governance, compliance, whether internal, external, they've run into issues where they've actually had to replicate full cloud repositories back on-prem, or on-premises if you prefer.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the reason they've done that is because they didn't have the ability to bring or extend their existing architecture for how they run and manage their data out to those sites. So, you know, instead what I would say is, and I'll give you a real example of a real product, if I look at a solution like Hitachi Content Intelligence, right? Essentially a platform built on top of our content platform. What it allows me to do is say, look, I'm going to have several indexes all over the place. So I'm going to use HCP to enrich my data center. I'm going to put a software-defined HCP out in the public cloud. I'm going to now allow that data to be enriched there. Different repositories,
yeah.
But a shared index.
Shared index, yeah.
And as the data goes out to the cloud, it will get that index. Now, all I have to do is search the index. The data can rest where it is. But what I can do through HCI is, as I actually get visibility to a personally identifiable information record, something for HIPAA compliance, something for you name it, what I can do is actually run a real-time search across all my repositories, and then I can encrypt, I can delete, I can move, I can protect based on what I find. This is incredibly powerful because it gives that agility and flexibility to run the app where it should be best fit, rather than compromising just to meet the needs of governance and compliance.
And how many customers are doing that today? I mean, you said that was like 1,000 new customers in the last 12 months. How many of those customers are looking to go to that level? Or is that the high end, if you like, of what people are doing? Is that very common or is it high end?
I think the aspiration of that model is extremely important to our customers. I think today our clients are still trying to figure out exactly, you know, where are they going to build these applications? To my rain cloud comment from earlier, I mean, the reality is they are still making some real hard decisions of, are we going to standardize on a cloud?
Yeah.
Or are we going to actually build it where it is best suited and build our architecture to support that move? So I would say the concept of, you know, searching things like Dropbox or Office 365, those are real today.
Yeah.
But you look at the data of tomorrow where I'm going to have edge nodes that are gathering sensor data.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little bit more aspirational.
Okay, sounds good. So what can we expect in the next 12, 18, 24 months? Do you want to give us any sort of like spoilers about what we might see as stuff coming up?
Look, you know, what I tell you is if you look at our strategy over the last 12 months, we were very clear with the market where we were headed. We were very clear that, you know, storage was still important, maintains its importance, and we are 100% committed in that infrastructure space because it is the foundation. But we were clear that data was the aspiration, and we needed to bring together our content platform, our analytics platform, our IoT platform in a way that would be much easier for our clients to consume.
Right.
So what you've seen over the last 12 months is we've taken what was platforms and software, and we've proven out key use cases. Use cases that every one of those on the floor, the showcase floor, were deployed with our clients. Whether it was fraud detection, whether it was privacy or big privacy, whether it was some of the LiDAR stuff you saw. So what you'll see over the next 12 months, remember that it all starts with the client. The client has a problem and they come to us and ask us if we can help them solve it. We then build a solution to that problem.
Yeah.
We work with them, we collaborate with them. Once that is deployed, and it's at scale, we now have a blueprint that we can now bring to market. And I think you'll see more and more of these repeatable blueprints around how to leverage data rather than just a whole bunch of new offerings.
Right, because that's definitely something that over the years I've looked at and thought is an issue where, you know, yeah, great, so you've gone to a customer, you've created them something that's a bespoke solution. How do you now, let's say, industrialize it or package it? That's really hard because depending on how much customization you put in to get to that point, it might be very difficult not to just go through that whole customization process again. Clearly, you bought tools and now we know it's called Pentaho, and I now know the reason why, as we explained. I don't know whether we were recording when we said that, did we? We said it came from Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, so the founders were very passionate about Lake Tahoe. That's
so
right.
Now I know how to pronounce it. But I imagine that's why that acquisition came in, because that was the ability then to see the data and visualize it in one place, and then these other components are filling the gaps, as you said.
Yeah, I would add one other point, which is, you know, you talked about it. You said, you know, I think a lot of our clients are very wary of, I buy a platform and I put it together and it works and now I have to run it. And that technical debt is really bleeding a lot of our clients. And more, what we're seeing is this consumption gap, as I call it, is growing between the original ROI that was sold with a solution. And by the time the hardware and the software lands and the professional services deploys it, and you look moving forward, when the CFO comes back in 3 or 4 or 5 years and says, did the ROI get realized? Typically, it's a fraction of what was there.
Yeah.
We see that issue, and we see it as a huge opportunity. And so more and more, we're seeing a lot of our clients continue to purchase in CapEx. Yes, look at OpEx, but also look at as a service. So I'll just give you a couple prime examples. Obviously, storage as a service, compute as a service, VMs or containers as a service, that's obvious, and that's in widespread deployment.
Yeah.
But we're seeing other things like For instance, digital evidence management is a new solution that was on the shop floor that's now available as a service. And the concept is, if you're a law enforcement agency and you need the ability to have a secure repository for your cases, and you need the ability to easily blend, easily find, easily search, you want a provider to manage that for you for a whole bunch of reasons. Well, now their consumption gap goes to zero when they buy digital evidence management as a service, because it's a fixed price based on a metric they're happy with, and there's no deployment and there's no baggage.
And it's a pretty easy market to know who to sell it to, because you just go and talk to all the law enforcement agencies and you know they're going to buy it, I guess.
Well, absolutely. So we've got Hitachi Enterprise Cloud, which is as a service. Digital Evidence Management, which is as a service. Maintenance Insights, one of the newer solutions you saw for IoT, really look at the factory floor and all of the equipment and predictive maintenance. That's being sold as a service. And also our Smart Data Center, which essentially allows now our clients to say, Hitachi, manage the overall efficiency and operations of this data center to give me the overall best economics across any hardware, power systems, physical facility. I mean, that's really where this is all going.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, it's been great. The conversation's been really useful. Can people find you online? Do you use social media heavily?
Absolutely. I actively blog in my own personal blog, seanrosemarin.com, and you can also find me on Twitter at @SeanRosemarin.
Wonderful. Well, once again, Sean, thanks very much for joining me, and hope to catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.